Our present meditation, the second on Saint Joseph, is Saint Joseph model of the primacy of the interior life. As we said in our previous meditation, these two conferences are based on the document of the present Holy Father, Part one was on Saint Joseph, the model of laborers, workers, animated by love. And the second is on the primacy of the interior life, even as Joseph worked externally, the primacy in his life was not his labor, but his interior union with God. We begin by observing that Saint Joseph's silence in the Gospels is a thundering revelation. It tells us how the most important work we have to do is not with our bodies. Our most important work is with our souls. Our main task in life is to live in union with God. This explains why Saint Teresa of Jesus, reformer of the Carmelites, promoted devotion to Saint Joseph as the most important practical way of growing in sanctity for those like the Carmelites whose vocation is contemplation. With that as a background, we now wish to look at the interior life of Saint Joseph. It began, as we must say, with the total sacrifice of Joseph to the needs, we won't say demands, of the Messiah coming into his home. It was from this interior life, and now I will quote a series of statements from our Holy Father on what the fruits of this interior life in Saint Joseph did. It was, I repeat, from this interior life that very singular commands and consolations came. You don't live in the presence of God, which is not an abstraction. You live in the presence of God, and God will tell you what to do. and will also give you the satisfaction that only God speaking to the soul can provide. For me, humanly speaking, the deepest joy on earth is exchanging heart with heart with a person who, as we say, is kindred in spirit. Holy Father continues, it was from this interior life that Saint Joseph was given unusual language, the logic and strength that belong to simple and clear souls. The logic and strength. Logic, the Greek logos, mind. As united as a person is with God, to that extent, the mind of God enlightens our minds. Our minds, as by now I trust we all know, are like wild animals. Thoughts, like, shall I say it, wild beasts caught in the cage of what we call our intellect. You name the crazy ideas, and pardon me, we can have them. Union with God provides the mind with logic, the ability to think coherently. It also provides the will with a strength, says the Holy Father, that belongs to simple and clear souls. We go on. This is Saint Joseph, about whom Pope John Paul is speaking. This interior life gave Joseph the power of making great decisions. And the Holy Father numbers, I count them, 5 major decisions that Joseph made in his life. The decision to put his liberty immediately at the disposition of the designs of God. In other words, in the measure that we, like Joseph, are truly living an interior life, inevitably, Joseph decided to put his liberty and get the adverb immediately at the disposition of the divine designs. Saint Joseph never jumped one step ahead of God's grace. Secondly, this interior life enabled Joseph to make over his decisions to legitimate human demands. Only a person closely united with God will be able to see God in the demands that human beings can make on our freedom. Again, this living the interior life enabled Joseph to enjoy his conjugal happiness. This is the Vicar of Christ telling us. Saint Joseph was the spouse. By the way, I prefer the English translation, spouse, rather than husband. Of course, Joseph was the husband of Mary. But both she and he lived, as faith tells us, virginal lives. I cannot tell you over the centuries what implications the saints have drawn from Mary and Joseph living, as we must say, a married life, yet living in perfect virginity, and yet enjoyed conjugal happiness. In counting married people over the years, I tell them there are two levels of conjugal happiness. The natural satisfaction that everyone living a married life has and has a right to experience. But there's also a supernatural happiness that only a husband and wife who are really living, each in their own way, a deeply interior life, have a right to experience. In other words, marriage is no obstacle to a deep, close union with God. Fourth consequence, Holy Father tells us, Saint Joseph's interior life enabled him to accept the conditions and the responsibility and the burden of a family. Again, in my almost 50 years in the priesthood, how many myriad people I've told, you grow in your spiritual life and your intimate union with Christ. And He'll provide you with the means of raising your family, even in the chaotic society of our modern world. But only, only a deeply interior life will provide father and mother with the graces they need, the light and the strength, as we casually say, to raise a family in these chaotic days. And let me tell you, modern America has no claim to being more chaotic than was the condition of the Jewish people in Palestine in the first century of the Christian era. When, as I've said so often, the word familia existed, of course, in the Latin language. But there were no families. Abortion was legalized. Contraception was the common practice. Infanticide was required by law if the father was not satisfied with a child that, I won't say his wife, had just given birth to. It is the interior life that provides, as the Holy Father is telling us, with the wisdom and the courage that mother and father need in rearing, and the Pope says, and being shouldered with the burden of a family. Finally, living this deeply interior life enabled Joseph to live an incomparable virginal life. In other words, he was very happy, shall we say, in renouncing or sacrificing that natural conjugal love that is the condition and nourishment of the family. Oh, how much we have to learn, beginning with the speaker, of how God will more than make up for what we give up. You name the sacrifice, and God will always, shall I say, repay us. And any mathematical figure I use is an understatement, a hundredfold. our next section of reflection. Remember, we are speaking of the interior life of Saint Joseph. And this was an interior life of communion, communion of love between Joseph and Jesus. The humanity of Jesus was and is the effective means of his divinity for the salvation of the world. How this needs to be known. How many of my students, including hundreds of priests that I've told, it is Christ's humanity that is the means by which or through which Christ's divinity communicates his grace. That's why not to know this and not to understand this is not to begin to appreciate the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. It is the humanity of Jesus Christ, present on earth. Why? So that his divinity might communicate through his humanity the graces we need. What an important condition in the measure of our faith. The more deeply, and let me tell you, there is nothing more important in the spiritual life than growing in our understanding of the faith. Don't tell me that's academics. That's bedrock truth. And we better understand how the Holy Eucharist is the principal channel of grace for the whole world. Joseph lived, what a statement. Joseph lived in the company of the real presence. From the moment that his spouse Mary conceived her son until, as tradition tells us, Joseph died in the arms of Jesus and Mary. Joseph held the closest physical contact with Jesus of anyone except Mary. He had, and I'm summarizing from the papal document, Joseph had hearing contact with Jesus. The child spoke to Joseph. I'm sure I've told you this story from one of the apocryphal gospels. Joseph and Jesus are in the carpenter shop. Joseph is making a bench for a customer. Well, Joseph was not, we may say, infallible. He made the bench, the frame, and then, well, made the seat for the bench. But he had miscalculated. The bench was too short. Oh, Joseph told Jesus, I'm quoting from the Apocrypha, stupid me. Jesus said, Joseph, don't worry. You hold one side of the plank, I'll hold the other. You pull, and I'll pull. And because Jesus was there, the seat fitted the bench. Pardon me, that's the Apocrypha. But we know on faith that Joseph heard Jesus speaking. Joseph spoke to Jesus. The ears of the Son of God heard the voice of this carpenter by the name of Joseph. Joseph touched Jesus. Joseph was in the company of Jesus. And again, the Pope tells us, Saint Joseph had a fatherly love of Jesus. Or in giving retreats to men, and more than once, speak of the deep fatherly love that Joseph had for Jesus. But that fatherly love had better be founded on a deep interior life. So much for part two of our meditation, now part three. The harmony of the contemplative and the active life. This, of course, is the underlying theme of Pope John Paul to reassure us that we can and should work, labor, we better collaborate with the grace of God, we're going to get to heaven. That means work. But no matter how externally, as the expression goes, we may be in life, our souls should be living their lives in union with God. And I would say this is the single deepest test and most difficult responsibility of those who want to live an authentically contemplative life and yet be necessarily, shall I say, preoccupied with so many things. What does this have to do with my interior life And the answer is everything. Experience shows us how difficult is harmony between the contemplative and what we call the active life can be. Though, I should rather say, experience shows how difficult this may seem to be. The reason is because we tend to separate these two as though they were mutually exclusive. I know, I'm sure we all know the motto of Saint Benedict, and its imperative, ora et labora, pray and work, exclamation mark. Notice what Benedict placed first, ora. The full harmony of the contemplative with the active life. And now I'm quoting from the Holy Father, is only possible for those who possess the perfection of charity. Unquote, the Vicar of Christ. Let me repeat, the full harmony of the contemplative and the active life is only possible for those who possess the perfection of charity. And of course, behind that statement is the implication that charity is not only interior and profoundly, deeply interior. Charity is also will put into practice. If you love God, you just don't keep repeating. Keep repeating, my God, I love you. I love you. You do something about your love. Jesus, as man, possessed this full harmony with consummate perfection. Mary possessed it as fully as a human person can. Christ, as we know, had two natures, but he was not a human, but a divine person. Mary was a human person. And the third was Joseph, living out the harmony of both the contemplative and the active. However, and all that I'm sharing with you is drawn from the teachings of our Holy Father. Although this harmony surely existed to a pinnacle degree in Christ and Mary, says the Pope, it stands out most prominently in Saint Joseph, because he was so obviously a laborer for years, as the cooperator and head of the Holy Family. Now, this calls for some explanation. Here I draw on St. Augustine, provided, by the way, by the Holy Father. Says Augustine, the language may sound strange, I'm quoting, there is first of all the love of the truth. Well, there is secondly also the practical demands of love. We go back. Charity, first of all, means that there is the love of the truth. The Latin is in my notes, so I'll give it. Caritas veritatis. The charity of the truth. Remember, we defined, and by the way, Augustine, we quoted, that's what contemplation means. It is the enjoyment in the admiration of the truth. Joseph lived in the company of incarnate truth. Who could question that Joseph's life was a life of contemplation? In other words, Jesus Christ was and is truth who became man. The deepest joy of the mind is seeing the truth. That's why, as I keep telling people, some 70 million Americans are living on medically prescribed, whatever name you wish to use, tranquilizers, sedatives, better known as drugs. They're not living in possession of the truth. The deepest unhappiness I know, the deepest unhappiness of the human spirit is for the mind not to possess the truth. But then, there's harmony between the contemplative, which we've just described, and the active tells us, and now we're going back to Augustine, on whom the Holy Father, the present one, deeply depends heavily on the theology of St. Augustine. There is also the practical demands of love, which again, St. Augustine, using his Latin, necessitas caritatis. The necessity of charity. In other words, there is such a thing as putting our love into practice. Love in action. And both are needed, and Saint Joseph is a model. We saw the first, and now we're reflecting on the second. Both are demands of love. The first is the demand to love God become man. To put his love into action. In other words, there is no authentic interior life which does not put my union with God into practice and dealing with human beings. These two are inseparable. Jesus is both God, to be contemplated, and Jesus is man, to be worked for. Now some closing implications. Work and the interior life are not contradictory. In fact, the interior life is the soul of our work. Better, the interior life should be the soul of our work as followers of Christ. We should be recollected in spirit, dare I say, even while our body may be engaged in what we call work. The secret is not to be lost, as the expression goes, in prayer, while being physically occupied. It is rather to be doing the work that God wants me to do out of love for Him. That's why God became man, to prove to us that the work we do cannot possibly be incompatible with union with God. Incompatible. Christ, Jesus Christ, were united in one divine person, having two natures. Of course, and making the retreat, we need to examine our consciences to see God in the work I'm now doing, to talk to our Lord while I'm engaged in work. Believe me, we're always, and I mean always, talking to someone, even my dear sisters in Christ, even in our dreams. I would not even exclude because I try to include. Not exclude even talking with our Lord while you're talking with someone else. I'm on a telephone call. I've never met the person. Long distance call. They're paying for it. It won't be a long conversation. They want counsel. I'd be out of my mind to think I could provide counsel for this unknown voice 2,000 miles away. Only one thing to do. Allow the person to talk while I am praying. Does that make sense? And most of the work we're doing is not so mentally preoccupying as to exclude speaking with Jesus Christ. How do we foster? I'm talking now about implications. How do we, practically speaking, foster this seemingly incompatible harmony between the interior life and work? Think of our Lord. By the way, we are always thinking, even in our sleep. Did you know that? Some of the finest ideas I've ever had came to me in my sleep. They are sometimes so good, they wake me up. What a difference. What a difference between just thinking, as the expression goes, at random, and thinking of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine our Lord not being on the mind of Joseph? This living the interior life means discussing with our Lord what I'm doing. As I've said so many times, my favorite place for writing is before the Blessed Sacrament. It just makes sense. And I've written maybe a whole page. Lord, what do you think? No. Great big lines. I always write with a black and a red pen. A black one for the script and the red one for comments and erasures. A very good practice for fostering the interior life is to cultivate the habit of saying aspirations during the day. I'm talking to friends. By the time I reached the sacristy door this evening, I counted them. I made 50 memorare today. I counted them. Sometimes I forget where I left off. I make an honest guess, then I go on. Just the holy name, Jesus. Just the name, Mary. We never hear it. We never pronounce a word. And we're conscious without the mind and the will being behind that word. I'm almost finished, except for a prayer. This, as by now you know, is from the official Jesuit prayer book. Personal consecration to Saint Joseph. Dearest Saint Joseph, I consecrate myself to your service. I give myself to you, that you may always be my Father, my protector, and my guide in the way of salvation. Obtain for me a great purity of heart, a fervent love of the interior life, and the spirit of prayer. After your example, may I do all my actions for the greater glory of God, in union with the divine heart of Jesus and the immaculate heart of Mary. And you, blessed Saint Joseph, pray for me, that I may share in the peace in joy of your holy death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.